This is Nancy Dwyer
and Rocky Alvey
for Stellar Conversations, recorded at Vanderbilt University's Dyer Observatory. This is part one in our conversations with Dr. Rob Knopp, Assistant Professor of Physics and Astronomy at Vanderbilt University, where he conducts research on one of the most impressive discoveries of modern science, the expansion of the universe.
Hello, Rob.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
Doing all right.
Well, you know, we're going to talk about the expansion of the universe today, but my first question is, what is the universe?
Well, that's a hard question. So when you say the universe, there's two different things you can mean. If you're being very careful, there's something you can call the observable universe. What the observable universe is, all the galaxies that we in principle can see. Now, we haven't seen all of them yet, because some of them are very far away and very dim, and we're always building bigger telescopes. But any galaxy that is close enough to us that since the beginning of the universe there has been time for light to reach us, moving at the speed of light, is within what we would call the observable universe. So the observable universe has 100 billion galaxies in it, something like that. It is a finite volume, because the universe has a finite age, so there's only a given distance light can have moved since the beginning of the universe. The universe as a whole, however, is bigger than the observable universe. So if you can't do this, but let's just pretend you can. If you were able to move infinitely fast to the edge of our current observable universe and look beyond, you would just see more galaxies. And if, again, you could move infinitely fast, I do this all the time, actually integrating my equations, but you can't do it in real life. If you go infinitely fast, further on you keep going, there's always more and more galaxies, more and more galaxies. So the whole universe is much bigger than the observable universe. There are galaxies so far away that light hasn't had time to reach us yet.
So our universe, the visible universe, is essentially a sphere or a bubble. We live in a bubble, and we're in the center of that bubble.
It is a bubble, except that it's a bubble. It's not a bubble like a soap bubble that actually has a physical wall to it. It's a bubble like if you imagine going out in a foggy day and putting down a light. The light will sort of light up a roundish area around you. It's just as far as the light reaches into the fog. It's more like that sort of bubble.
Okay, so if someone's on the edge of our bubble, at the edge of the fog where the light begins to drop off, and they light their lantern, they're going to have a bubble as well.
Right. Same size.
Same size. Yeah.
And if you imagine somebody living in a galaxy which is at the edge of our observable universe, they would look back. They actually wouldn't see us because the light took time to reach them. They would look back and see the atoms and the gas that would eventually form into our galaxy. And if they looked in the other direction, they'd see other galaxies perfectly close to them, but which we can't see because they're too far away.
Okay, so that's our observable universe.
So our observable universe is all the galaxies that are close enough that we can have seen them, that light has had time to reach us since the Big Bang.
And that is approximately 13.8 billion light years distant?
Well, okay, so when you start, now this is going to get tricky. When you start talking about distances in cosmology, it gets very difficult.
And that's why we have you here.
That's why we have me here. So in fact, the universe is 13.7 billion years old, but it's something like 45 billion light years across. If you want me to do that right, I have to sit down and calculate, actually, to remember which one it is.
But it's much bigger than that.
It's much bigger than that, and the reason is the universe is expanding all the time. So the light that's taken 13.7 billion light years to reach us, that's the light from just after the Big Bang, well, during that time, the stuff that was there got further away from us because the universe expanded. So the universe, the observable universe, is actually bigger than it looks, in a sense, because we're looking at it as it was when the light left those distant galaxies to reach us.
So in our lifetime, and with the technology that we have, there's no way we'll see beyond the observable universe.
No, and we do know, the current model we use for the universe is that it is infinite. I wouldn't say that we really know exactly that it really is infinite, but we do know it has to be a whole lot bigger than what we can see, because we would have seen differences when we look out at the stuff near the edge of the universe if it wasn't very similar beyond the edge of our observable universe. So we know in our lifetime we're never going to see the whole thing. And in fact, it's more complicated than that. If it turns out that we're going to be able to see less and less as time goes by.
Okay, let's get back to that at the very end.
We'll get that back to that later, because that's even more weird.
You've touched on one of the main subjects that we're going to discuss today, the expansion of the universe. I'd like to know, how do we know the universe is expanding?
Okay. Well, if you want the one word answer, the answer is redshift. But I'll try and talk about that a little bit. So there's two ways you can think about redshift, and the first thing I'm going to talk about isn't really how it works, but it's a good approximation, at least for nearby galaxies. And when I say nearby galaxies, I mean closer than a few hundred million light years. So, you know, that's neighborhood for me. If you listen to a car going by, you hear the typical Doppler shift. When it's moving away from you, the pitch is lower than when it's coming towards you. Same thing happens with light. If something is moving away from you, light emitted by that something, so let's just say a galaxy. If a galaxy is moving away from you, light emitted by that galaxy, when you observe it, will be shifted red of the original light. So what we do is we look at galaxies and we find bits of light that we know exactly what wavelength it should be because it's comes from a certain gas, hydrogen gas. There's some light that comes from hydrogen gas at very specific wavelengths. Then we observe it. We see it at a different wavelength. We can measure that difference. That difference in that wavelength gives us a redshift. And how much redshift tells us how fast the galaxy is moving away from us. So it was discovered back in the early 20th century, and this was Edwin Hubble, so Hubble the guy, not the telescope, that if you look around, you see galaxies in all directions show redshifts. They're all moving away from us. And what's more, he discovered that the ones that are farther away are moving faster, and that is a very strong characteristic of a uniform expansion. So we know the universe is expanding because in all directions we see galaxies redshifted. They're moving away from us. They're getting farther away. That's an expansion. And we also go beyond that. The ones that are farther away are moving faster than the ones that are closer. Now, that's not usually, and maybe this is about to get pretty technical, that's not usually how we really think about the expansion, those of us who do this kind of thing. We don't think about galaxies moving through space. Instead, we think about space itself is getting bigger and the galaxies getting farther apart. An analogy would be if you imagine a loaf of bread with raisins in it, and you cook it, and the loaf of bread rises. And as it rises, all the raisins get farther apart from each other, but they're not really moving through the bread. And notice the raisins themselves also don't get bigger. They stay the same sizes, but they get farther apart from each other. That's what the galaxies in the universe are doing. They stay about the same size, but they get farther apart from each other, and the universe as a whole is growing. So normally we think about it as the universe getting bigger rather than galaxies flying apart from each other. But the redshift effect you get in either case.
Rob, talk a little bit more about why things that are farther away from us are expanding faster.
Okay. I'm going to use an analogy that's not exactly right. And it's unfortunate because it's the analogy that the name the Big Bang suggests. The Big Bang is not an explosion. But let's think about an explosion for a moment because it, in some ways it looks like one. And instead of an explosion, let's actually imagine that you can throw a whole bunch of baseballs all at once in all directions. So you have a whole bunch of baseballs, and you throw a whole bunch of them in all directions. Wait a little while, and then stop and take a snapshot of the baseballs that have moved away from you. Mm-hmm. The ones that are moving fastest have gotten the greatest distance. And if you're throwing these baseballs, and let's imagine you're doing this out in deep intergalactic space where there's no gravity to make them fall back down to the ground, they're just going to keep going at the speed you threw them. So the ones that are farthest away are the ones that are moving fastest. They have been able to get farthest away because they're moving fastest. So any uniform expansion always shows that sort of structure, that the things that are farther away are moving faster, just for that reason. Now, the universe itself, again, is more like this loaf of bread I was talking about. But if you can think about the loaf of bread, imagine three raisins in a row. The distance between the leftmost raisin and the rightmost raisin goes up at twice the rate of the distance between the leftmost raisin and the middle raisin.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's two steps from left to middle and middle to right. And if that step size goes up by, say, an inch, it's gone up from an inch from left to middle raisin, but it's gone up 2 inches from left to right raisin in the same amount of time. So even in the loaf of bread analogy, the farther things are away, the greater the rate at which they're moving away from you.
Okay. Well, that's a little bit more helpful to me.
Okay, Rob, I'd like to ask you a question that we always get at the observatory. As humans, we're so used to thinking of everything as having a container. We live in houses. The Earth is confined by this perimeter in the atmosphere. We live in a solar system. Solar systems in a galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, the galaxies in a cluster of galaxies. So the question that I get is what is the universe expanding into, if it's expanding?
Yeah. So that's a very hard question to answer, not because there isn't a good, clean, precise answer, but because it is very hard to express the answer in a way that makes sense to our brains, which, as you've said, everything we have experience with has some sort of bound to it or some container to it. So you think about something expanding, a balloon, an explosion, my waistline, and there's always something outside it, you know, the air that it's expanding into. And the universe is not like that. So the short, concise answer is that the universe isn't expanding into anything, but that is different from saying the universe is expanding into nothingness. There is no edge of the universe that you can go and look out and say, okay, that's where the edge of the universe is going to be next week. There is no edge like that. You keep going, you always see more universe. So the universe is all there is. Asking what is the universe expanding into, or equivalently, what is outside the universe, is the same as asking, if I'm on the surface of the Earth and I go north, when I get to the North Pole, what's north of that? There is no north of the North Pole. And it's nothing particularly strange. It's a little cold, but, you know, you're just on the surface of the Earth there. There's no weird singularity or space-time crunch or Santa Claus or, well, sorry, kids. there's no space-time singularity or anything like that. There's just curved Earth, but there is no north of that. There is no outside of the Big Bang in the normal three spatial dimensions that we think about. If you keep going in the universe, there's always more universe. It's getting bigger. So there is more of it there. It would take you longer to get to a distant galaxy than it did before the universe had expanded that much. But you never get to an outside. So there's no outside of the universe that it's expanding into. It is all there is, and now there's more of it.
So that leads me to another question. When we think of the Big Bang, we always hear that it came from a singularity. So we think of the universe as being confined to this point, and it expanded out to a size of a pea, and then it got larger and larger till the current size. And we think of it expanding into something, and you just explained that that's not the case. But the universe, in fact, if I'm understanding you, was never just the size of a singularity. This area that we live in was the size of the singularity. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, okay. So there's two things. I mean, the first is, you're right. If the universe is infinite now, it was always infinite. It was just a smaller infinity. Which then some people say, well, how can that be? If it's infinity, it's infinity. Well, imagine an infinity, all of the integers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, blah, blah, blah. Now, say for each one of those, I'm also going to add the half integer. So 1, 1.5, 2, 2.5. I now have twice as many numbers as I used to have, because for each number I had before, I now have two numbers. But they're both infinite numbers. So you can have different infinities. So if the universe was infinite, and then it expanded, and then it was a bigger infinity. Now, as for the singularity, that's maybe an unfortunate word, because it sounds like something it isn't really. Really, well, not entirely really, but if I'm going to be a little colloquial about it, when a physicist or an astronomer says singularity, they mean where something has become messed up in our calculation. So what the Big Bang theory tells us is that when you go back to, and I'm going to leave quantum mechanics out of this because it gets real tough, but if you just look at the classical Big Bang theory, you go back to time zero, the moment of the Big Bang, you go to an infinite energy density. Now, it won't really get there, probably, because before you get to that energy density, you have to worry about quantum mechanics. So the answer is our physics doesn't really know how to take us back to the moment of the Big Bang. But the singularity is that infinity. You've divided by zero somewhere. And when you divide by zero, your math goes to heck. So that's what we mean when we say there is a singularity. So when you say the universe was once the size of a pea, it was, but that was the observable universe. Take all the galaxies that we can see now. So there's some 100 billion stars in our galaxy, and there's some 100 billion galaxies in our observable universe. That's a lot of stuff. And actually, all that stuff is just a little bit, because there's also all this dark matter there. Take all that stuff and compress it down to the size of a pea. That is an amazingly dense little pea you've got there. But it's not infinite. It's still finite, and we can still deal with it. But just as there are galaxies outside our observable universe, all right, those galaxies would have compressed down to stuff outside that pea. And there's more and more and more outside of that. So the pea is just the little piece of this infinite soup that will later expand to be our observable universe. But the whole universe as a whole just kept going. And it always kept going. It used to be this plasma, strange, dense stuff whose physical properties we only very loosely understand. but it just kept going. Now, before that P period, that's where our physics breaks down, and we do not understand fundamental physics well enough to really predict what happened to the universe before that P period.
This is Nancy Dwyer.
And Rocky Alvey.
For Stellar Conversations, brought to you by Vanderbilt University's Public Affairs Department and recorded at Vanderbilt Dyer Observatory. For more information about Dyer Observatory, please see our website at www.dyer.vanderbilt.edu.